We humans sure are wordy creatures. Thank you, Steve. That was a lot. We are wordy, wordy creatures. And maybe other mammals and molecules are too. I don't know. But we sure are. We love to play with words. We love to use our words to be heard, to try to be understood, to try to understand each other. Maybe that's part of the appeal of social media, right? I have an audience for my words, and it's a thrill. What is your favorite word? What is your favorite word? Is it a silly word, like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Is it a word from your career or from your passions, like praxis or bouillabaisse? I had to look up how to spell that one. Or is it a simple word that makes your heart thrum, like love? What's your favorite word? Shout it out. I got a lot of love. What else was there? Love? Joy? God? Something that started with a micro and went on many, many syllables longer.
It's got
45 letters, 19 syllables. He wins. Okay. So thinking of your favorite word, what is your favorite biblical word?
Still,
we're holding strong on love. Holding strong on love. So interestingly, your pastor did not put that on my list. I could come up with four words. I couldn't narrow it down to one. Why I didn't get to love, we'll put that aside for later. But four words today that I love, right, that I love. Hineni, hesed, surely, and shall. Hineni, Hebrew, it means here I am. But not like, here I am washing the dishes, or here I am on vacation. It's the here I am that Abraham gave to God. You remember that Abraham spent decades, years, walking with his family, walking and searching, having no permanent home and no legacy, for Abraham and Sarah were infertile. But after a very arduous old age, Abraham was able to see through the veil. He was able to see through the veil that kept him, that he put up to keep him from seeing God. So when at last he had a home and he had two kids or more, and God called out to Abraham again, he could say, Hineni, here I am. Of course, God knows where Abraham is. It's not here I am physically. Abraham is saying, here I am, and all that I am, fully all that I am is yours, though I do not fully understand all you are. I am ready for your will. Hineni. It's a response of presence. It's a posture of devotion to God. If it didn't go against our typical style of worship, I would invite everyone to stand and feel what it would be like to be that receptive to God from your toes through your knees, your hips, your torso, your arms, your fingers, the top of your head. Hineni, here I am. One word, that one word expresses the outcome of a lifetime of walking toward God. The next word, hesed, is also about walking toward God, but through other people, with other people. Remember, just last summer, we spent 3 weeks studying the book of Ruth, and we even had a puppet, shadow puppet. Remember right up here, shadow puppets, telling us that story, thanks to the Pettifish Schrag family. Never once in the play or in the book does God appear. God never makes an appearance in the entire book of Ruth. Instead, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz choose to care for each other in spite of risky and desperate circumstances. They choose to care for each other, to exhibit God's loving kindness to each other. Hesed is love expressed in loyalty and commitment that goes well beyond the bounds of duty or law. Hesed is to manifest God. It is to manifest God to other people, for other people. Hesed is to choose other people and their well-being, their safety, their person, regardless of what society provides or even what the law allows. Hesed, in one word, it describes the innate, albeit very often inert, goodness, capacity for being a good neighbor, as God calls us to be. My third out of the four words is a word about the goodness of God. So in your pews, there should be about three Bibles. There was one up here, and now it's gone. Exciting, exciting. Oh, no, I got one here. If you would turn to page 617, for those of you who have it's red on the edge, the red-edged book, 617. And if you have another Bible with you, or you have a Bible app on your little pocket machines, let's go to Psalm 23. It's not a crisis if you don't have one. So if you've got the red-edged book, it's page 617. Otherwise, the Psalms are generally in the middle of the Bible. Bam. It's convenient. I learned that from a middle schooler. Psalm 23. Now, we might have different versions, but let's try to read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I shall live in the house of the Lord all my life long. No matter how bad things get, surely goodness and mercy are yet to come, and God is always there. Surely, it's a foothold, it's an anchor, it's a beacon in a foggy harbor, reassuring us of God's constant and comforting presence. Surely, surely in that one word, we have expressed the entirety of God's half of our covenant promises. Our last word comes from our reading today from Isaiah of Jerusalem. At the end of the passage that Steve read for us, Isaiah of Jerusalem says that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established and shall be raised above the hills, and all the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come out of Zion, shall go forth instruction. The Lord shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Of course, that never happened in the lifetime of Isaiah of Jerusalem, or in the lives of the other two authors to whom we attribute this book. In fact, by the end of the book of Isaiah, Jerusalem has fallen not into the hands of the Assyrians, but into the hands of the Babylonians who conquered the Assyrians. The elite of Jerusalem are sent into exile in other lands of Babylon. And then eventually Babylon is conquered by Persia. And the descendants of the elite get to come home to Jerusalem. So very quickly after these shalls of peace comes war upon war upon war upon war upon war. And as you see on the cover of your bulletin today, there's a photograph from 101 years ago of a munitions factory in England during World War I and a bullet factory here in Missouri. If anything, it seems like we've escalated our capacity. We've escalated our capacity for making swords. And we've even escalated or maybe intensified the lead up to those wars. In this story, when the king of Assyria wants to make war, he sends his army and he sends an emissary, a messenger, to the walls of Jerusalem. And from outside the walls, this emissary taunts the Hebrew king and sows doubt among the Hebrew people. Don't listen to King Hezekiah. Don't listen to him. Don't trust his promises that God will somehow save you, that your God will somehow save you. No one else's God has been able to save them. No one else's God has stopped us yet. Nowadays, our kings, be they hereditary kings, elected kings, financial kings, they don't even have to leave their house to share their vitriol, to stir fear. All they need is Twitter. They need a cell phone, they need Twitter, some bots would help, and some good programmers. And now their audience for their fear and their dissent is not just a few thousand Jerusalemites. It's hundreds and millions of hardworking and harried internet users. Still, that shall rings out. The clarity of that shall and its bell, the day of peace, the day of cooperation that it ushers in, still reverberates in our souls and in our imaginations. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall no longer take sword up against nation, and never shall they study war anymore. They shall, surely, still, they shall. That one word, shall, expressing all the goodness that we can yet know through God. We humans are wordy creatures, but it's not all that we are. We are also worthy creatures. We are worthy creatures. We are worthy of a stable homeland like Abraham and Sarah. We are worthy of communities of care like Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. We are worthy of a fearless walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we are worthy of a world without weapons and all the anger and animosity that fuel them. We are worthy. So for all of the words that we will say and that we will hear and that we will read today, there are really only four that we need to hang on to. Hineni, be fully present for the God that sets the table for friends and enemies alike. Hesed, practice loving kindness with all who need it, no matter what. Let the surely and the shall of God remind us to do those things when we forget. And let us not forget anymore. Amen.